Americana with your hosts,
Benzie and Wilkes.
Thanks for tuning in. Hello there, Wilkes.
Hey, Benz.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Are you feeling relaxed from your vacation?
Oh, so relaxed. I love the beach.
Oh, well, you're a Florida girl now, so.
That's true. We love being by the ocean. So, we went to New Smyrna. I'm sure you guys noticed from my Instagram post because I loved it there.
Yes, it's all over. You can see the sunrise picture on our Instagram. What'd you guys go for?
So we went for our anniversary.
Woo-hoo.
1 year. Woo-hoo.
It's already been 1 year. It's crazy.
I know. We can't believe it, but it was so great. New Smyrna, it's so nice. Oh my gosh. If you guys are ever, able to go, I recommend it. So much.
This is coming from the girl who didn't know that New Smyrna has a high number of shark attacks.
Oh my gosh. You literally just told me that today.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because the waves were so choppy. The ocean was really, really like angry the last weekend, and it was cold. And so we saw the sunrise. And we had to take, like, a blanket, like, just to cover ourselves because it was so cold.
People don't realize, even in the middle of the summer, like, if you go in the evening by the beach, it's pretty chilly.
Yeah, I mean, the water and the breeze. It felt nice in the evening because the daytime it did get really hot. Like, we got sunburned.
Oh, yeah, when you guys came to pick up the dog, I dog sat for them. So I stayed with Precious. And they came back and I was like, I didn't want to touch them. Like, they were like tomatoes.
And it wasn't even like on purpose. Like, we laid out on the beach maybe like a couple hours, but we rented a fun car. And so, which is awesome because in Jersey or like any of the beaches I've been to before, you can't drive onto the beach. And so here we rented like a little fun car and drove along the shoreline. And we got all the way to like the lookout point where you kind of see Daytona.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, so there's certain awesome beaches here that you can't drive on. Like Cocoa, I don't think you can drive on.
Yeah.
But I think Daytona you can.
And New Smyrna.
And New Smyrna you can.
You can pull in and you can just like set up your whole little, there were people grilling.
That's amazing.
On the beach.
That's awesome.
This is awesome.
Yeah, and like then you should bring like a truck and you just have a truck or something. That's pretty cool.
And then it's like a legitimate beach town. Like people walk barefoot around the street. We found the Philly cheesesteak.
Was it good?
It was legit. You know me. I mean, I have to go and I'm like, I question like, well, what bread do you use? Because it's not real if it's not on a Amoroso bread. Remember that.
Okay.
And it has to have cheese whiz because then you're doing it wrong. And they were like, no, we're from Philly. And
but
I was like, okay.
Philly cheesesteaks with like white cheese.
Yeah, some people don't like cheese whiz, so that's okay. But I usually get with whiz. I love it.
It's barely cheese, Wilkes.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
It's terrible, but it was delicious. And they were authentic because they were from Philly, so had to support.
Well, my weekend obviously was, with the pups. So I was Aunt Lizbenny to Preston. We may or may not see some Malwawas this weekend because neither of our dogs are fixed. And of course, you can't keep your eye on the dogs all the time. I didn't see anything funny, but who knows? But then it was the Walking Dead finale, which was very exciting. I had you guys come over.
Wait, no, it was the season premiere of Fear of the Walking Dead.
You're absolutely right. Okay, yes, you're absolutely right. Okay, yeah. I'm mixing my weekends up. Yes, it was Fear of the Walking Dead. I'm not sure how I feel about the show yet.
I didn't like it.
I don't know. Like, I feel like I want to like it, and part of the reason I don't is because it doesn't, currently at the where it's at now, doesn't compare to where The Walking Dead is at now. So it's hard because it's hard not to compare them.
Yeah, but I also feel like Rick woke up. I mean, okay, I won't spoil it for anyone, but, like, as soon as the first episode started, you felt a connection to the character. Like you wanted them to survive, right?
Do you not feel that way?
No. I don't care if they all die.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost like they're...
I don't like any single person
on the
show.
I think I'm waiting for, like, another good character to come on, but...
They're not endearing. They're, they're just like
kind of annoying.
Oh my goodness!
The daughter annoys the heck out of me, and the orange.
They're
looking
all going
stepson.
Through like teenage hormones.
That is one
puberty,
thing. This show has
like,
way too much teenage angst for my liking.
And it's like Carl was a child. Like if anything, he should have been the one crying. He was like at that point we all thought he was a psychopath, but now he's kind of like hard knocks, right? Like he's good, but. So,
you're
imagine
a whole show full of Enids. Like, that's what kind of
felt you're right about not comparing the two different sets of characters, but just, gosh, So, Fear the Walking Dead writers, if you're listening to this, please, can just make one of the characters likable.
Because I think right the now, Asian girl, if she lands, are. I can be down with the Asian girl. Because
none
she was kind of with it from the
get. Yeah, none of them are just, I don't care about any of them.
Oh my god.
It sounds terrible, but.
Aside from that, Wilkes, I know that you have a couple of things for our rumor report.
Rumor report, right? So, Eva Mendes and Blake Lively. Eva Mendes with Ryan Gosling.
Okay.
And then Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds. Mm-hmm. They're both expecting baby number two.
The Ryans.
Yeah.
Do you ever found out? I don't remember what Eva Mendes named their daughter.
They named their daughter Esmeralda.
That's a pretty name. And I do not like that Blake Lively named her daughter James.
That's where we disagree. Because I love, like, love names like that.
But ambiguous is one thing. James is a straight up man's name.
I like it. I think it's cool.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a fan.
James. Then we have Coachella.
Coachella's this weekend and next weekend. Yep. So that's like the music festival mecca. I would love to go.
I would love to go too, but
it's expensive.
It is.
So you can imagine the kind of people that do go. Yeah. I'd probably be annoyed out of my mind.
It's true.
A lot of people that are there.
I know. But you'd see a lot of celebrities. And see, they've got good headliners.
Yeah, they also do a lot of streaming. So look online to see if there's any streaming. I was reading somewhere under like just, you know, YouTube, have your little Coachella at home. Yeah. I think YouTube must do it. Even if you're on Snapchat,
They always do those highlights.
Yeah,
things,
so
right?
You can kind of see what some people have been seeing at Coachella, mm-hmm. and I'm sure that we'll pick up on whatever trends are picked up at Coachella.
Oh, yeah, and Instagram, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Sad day for NBA.
Oh.
Kobe Bryant retired.
What'd you call it?
Oh, Mamba Day.
I kept thinking you were saying Mama Day, and I'm like, who's Mama Day? Why does she matter? The Black
Mamba. Mamba out. That's how he signed off.
He's the GOAT.
Yeah. I don't know. He's one of them.
He's a pretty talented guy. I mean,
he's
good.
He went out with a good game. I think he scored like 60 points for his last game, so that's pretty great. And then on the flip side, on a really good note, my boy, Steph Curry.
Steph Curry with the shot.
Woo! Golden State Warriors, 73 wins this season. It's been like the most winningest team in, I think, like 20 years.
That's crazy. He is a superstar.
They're awesome. They're
I don't care
really...
what people say about him or his wife. I love them.
He is like, he's got a talent where it's like, I don't know.
It's like beyond practice. Yeah,
it's like it's in him, I think. He's just that
There's
good.
Almost like a mathematical talent to
he's
him.
He's just so, and he doesn't even need to like look at the shot. Like he'll, you know, shoot the ball and turn around and like be halfway down the court and sinks in. From, like, mid-court.
Well, there's a video of, like, David Beckham kicking three soccer balls mm-hmm. at a beach into trash cans from what looks like a half a mile away, and he sinks them all.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if Steph Curry does not do something stupid to mess up, he can be the David Beckham
It's just,
of basketball.
Like, innate talent, right?
Yeah,
like, felt. Like, I think athletes like that, when they're so at the top of their game, like, mm-hmm. it's so fascinating to me.
Funny enough, apparently there were some recruiters back in 2009, some drafting recruiters mm-hmm. that they were just like one of the reports that they were reading was like he was very average, like he's like he has average build, he's, you know,
he's tiny compared
like, he's
to
not
the
huge.
Rest of his teammates.
And they were just
yeah.
saying like he's somebody that you can easily look over, and sometimes that's what you got to hear to become the best.
It's true. So. And it's a shame, you know, it's like a whole family of basketballers. His dad, his brother is in Sacramento.
Which kind of sucks
for his brother, right? Yeah. It's like the Gasol brothers, where Powell was a little better because he was on the Lakers when they were winning. But like now it's the Currys, and it's like Sacramento is an okay team.
Yeah, but Steph Curry. I didn't even know that Steph Curry had a brother in the NBA.
Yeah,
and so he made it to the NBA, but he's not Steph Curry.
Yeah,
but
you have a rumor, right?
I do have a rumor, and it is my boy Kendrick K-Dot is being sued, and I'm a little upset. I mean, I don't think I lose respect for him. This happened about 7 years ago.
Okay.
In 2009, his Kendrick Lamar mixtape EP that he released, apparently had a truck on there who he actually, I didn't want to believe it, but it's true. He very much copied a song that was released in the 70s by an artist named Bill Withers. The name of the song is Don't Want You to Stay. But on Kendrick's album, it's called I Do This. So he released it in, actually, not, I'm sorry, not 2009, 2013. So it was pretty recent. We played both of them, and they're the same song.
Well, they're the same track. But it's the thing with music. Like, Adele, when her latest album came out, like, there was a guitar in, like, Argentina. Like, the family of a guitarist came out and said that she used for the song that we like.
A million years ago?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That it's a copy of this. And it's, like, something in the music, and it's always going to be a copy of a copy. Like, this, he's not using the lyrics, right? He's just using the beat.
Yeah, but the music was the same. Like, it's one thing so to have, like, similar, but it's the same. But we will be linking it to our website,
demericana.net. You guys can see and give your opinion, because Vanilla Ice did it. Right?
Yeah, and we still kind of, we hear that, and now it's...
I get the real song that it's, you know, under pressure. Yeah. Under pressure, I'm like... Dun, 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 dun. Under pressure. Yeah, and then you're just ready to sing, you know, you're ready to sing Ice Ice Baby.
But who even heard of, maybe it's my generational ignorance speaking, but who's ever heard of a guy named Bill Withers, you know? Yeah. So I'm not saying it's okay. He should have listed credit. Right. I think that's really where the suit comes from.
It's like plagiarism, right? Yeah. We don't get away with it in school, so certainly.
And he gets paid for it. Yeah, we just get a grade. Yeah, it
shouldn't be allowed in an industry like that. But unfortunately, it happens.
It does. So.
Well,
I am very, very happy to announce that we actually do have a question from one of our listeners.
Woo!
So this one actually comes from Marcus in Orlando, and he...
Hi, Marcus!
Hi, Marcus! Thanks for listening. He was saying, okay, so what do you do when you have dated someone, or you're dating someone, you're in a relationship with this person,
okay,
your friends now become their friends, and then this relationship has ended, and your friends are still inviting your ex out with you also invited. So, I personally have never had to go through something like that.
Okay.
But, Wilkes, do you have any insight? What do you think?
I also, thankfully, have never had to go through that. There's a couple ways to look at it, right? Like, if you and your ex ended in, like, I don't know, let's say mature way. Like, you're just kind of grew apart and it wasn't, like, anything serious. Like, oh, he cheated on me or whatever. Then, okay, if you can still be civil, then... Yeah. You know, if they're really friends with, let's say, like, my girlfriend's boyfriend are friends with him, and, like, we're all going to hang out, then all right, right? If it's in a big enough crowd and we can be civil, that's okay. But now, if it was, like, a really tumultuous, like, breakup, like, I never want to see you again, burn all the stuff that he gave me kind of thing, then I would kind of want some girl code, right? Like, don't invite my ex who, you know, did me dirty.
But then it becomes one of those things where it's like, oh, you were saying it earlier. No, we hate them, right?
It's so true.
Yeah, so like your friends start disliking the people that hurt you. Now, I'm not sure of the specifics. It would really have to me, I think the biggest factor would be the time that has passed since the breakup. Because if it was a mature breakup and it's been quite some time and you can actually see the person and be okay with it, then, you know, like you said, a big enough group is fine. But if it bothers the person, like, then I think that deserves a conversation. Like, hey, I know you guys are still friends. I don't care if you hang out with them and I'm not there, but I would like to have my time with you guys without feeling like I have to filter because my ex is there.
Yeah, and it's an uncomfortable situation for your friends too, right? Because then if you say... well, if you're going to invite, you know, so-and-so, then I'm not going to go. And so then it makes it kind of like, well, now you're putting them in the middle and they have to choose almost, right? And now you're going to be mad if it's always going to be a lose. Someone's going to lose all the time, right?
I think a lot of it also has to do with a little bit with loyalty. Like, who was the original friend? And just because you came friends with, I don't know. Like,
or it's a lot of, this. There's too many Marcus, specifics. This is very specific, okay? Like, there's so many technicalities. Details, like,
and I think it really does matter on the maturity level.
Like, let's say it was a lot, like, okay, it has to be a relationship that spans years, I think.
For you to do what?
For it to be a solid enough friendship. Like, let's say you're good friends of, like, 10 plus years, and now your boyfriend of... 2 months, you break up, and they're going to be like, no, we're going to keep inviting him. It's like, you've only known him for 2 months, so what's the big deal? Yeah, but then
I think that, I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with, okay, so who knew the friends first? Was it just like a whole group of friends that all hung out together, and these two people paired off, you know? And so it's hard because you can't really define, like, well, I've been friends with Sally for this long, but I was also friends with Michael for this long, you know? So there's a lot of detail, and I really think it comes down to, at least for me, it comes down to specifics, but I think a safe bet would be the maturity amongst the people that broke up and honesty with your friends. And yeah. you have a right, even if it was an amicable friendship, a breakup, I mean, you have a right to not want to hang out with your ex. There's a reason you broke up.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So that would be my opinion, I think. So best of luck, Marcus.
I know. Hopefully. I hope that answered. That was very vague of
it
us,
was
too.
Vague.
But
there's
a lot of different, I think it'll pertain to everyone's different situation, I think. Because there's people who I know that have broken up and they've managed to stay friends. And I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and it's one thing. I mean, I think you can still be friends, but I know that if I had my core group of people with me and I just wanted a night where I can vent about my ex or I can feel myself and not have to filter if I'm seeing someone new because my ex is there, I would like to think that my friends would respect that and give me that time. There's a reason why I'm friends with them.
Right.
Same way that there's a reason why I broke up with the person. So I think having that conversation with your friends.
And I think it's really important to have the conversation, like you said, and and kind of not take it too personally. I would think it would have to be something where don't make your friends have to choose. Because
I feel like
that's an awkward position to put them in.
I think if it's a big enough event, then both of you should be there. But if it's something like, oh, let's watch a movie.
Yeah.
You don't have to invite everyone.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. But a wedding or like big occasions like birthdays, like come on.
Yeah, then that's one thing.
Right.
But I think, I don't know, it has a lot of little details. And I think that that's specific to the person and the situation they find themselves in.
Right.
But hopefully everything works out smoothly and there are no friendships that are lost.
I know.
Only the best. So, Wilkes, moving on with our topic.
But thanks.
Well,
also,
thank you so
first,
much.
Thanks for submitting that question. And also, other listeners, please submit other questions because that would be a cool little segment to add in.
Yeah.
And we'd love interacting with all of you. And I just think it'd be fun to just get to know everyone a little bit more and get our opinions on whatever you might be having an issue with.
We're definitely not pros, but we're cheaper than therapy.
Yeah. And maybe a little more funnier.
So, going into the topic of the day is something that I kind of felt myself in my youth, but I say youth, but it was only a few years ago.
Yeah.
And it is the very famous, lately very famous, quarter-life crisis. Wilkes,
dun,
did you
dun,
feel
dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And it's probably something a lot of our listeners can relate to.
Yes.
Either you're going into it, you're just coming out of it, or you came out of it several years prior and you're like, oh, I was worrying for no reason at all.
It's true.
Do you think?
Turning 25, I'm a year out of being 25, now I'm 26. Mm-hmm. But like I still, when people ask me my age, I still say 25. Like I like turning 25. I was scared because, you know, I got married at 25. I left where I knew as home for a good 10 years and moved to Florida. And so it was just like a lot of change happened in that 1 year where it was kind of just like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, my life is going, like, where is it going?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of felt like everything was happening and it was happening like that.
I think that when it comes to it, though, at least this is personal because my circumstances were different when I was 25. So it has a lot to do with the kind of changes that you're experiencing. So your changes were positive changes. You got married.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
You found a new job here in Florida doing what you love.
Right.
What you've been going to school for.
Right.
And you had already like a built-in system here
because
you knew all of us.
Yeah.
You know.
So
it was still scary,
great.
But it was good
scary,
changes.
But it was kind of just like, oh my gosh. Like, you know, you go from being, I don't know, being a little bit as a dependent.
Yeah.
Like, I depended on my mom for a lot and being independent too, but still, like, you know, little things. And now to, like, have that over and then, or now you're the one paying the bills and you're the one having to deal with a boss and having to deal with problems that are beyond, like, what grade I got on an exam, right? Like, now problems are actually, like
they affect you a little big life decision.
You're thinking about credit and you're thinking about, I've got to file my taxes, like, you know, all these big grown-up problems or things you have to do, responsibilities, I'll say,
yeah,
that when I was younger, I was like, oh my gosh, when I'm 25, I'm gonna be so old, right?
Well, and I mean, so- when you're 15, you think that by 25, that's, I think that's part of the reason, because you, who you were, you've never been 25 before, but you've been 15, mm-hmm. you know, so when you were 15, you're thinking, by the time I'm 25, I'm gonna be married, I'm gonna have 3 kids, and when those things aren't looking that way, yeah. that's how I felt, personally. Like, things weren't looking like that, and I was like, oh my god, what did I do wrong? You know, my thing wasn't that there were so many changes happening. My thing was that nothing was happening. You know, I was okay. still in school because I took very long to finish. I was only going part-time, not full-time. Mm-hmm. I still had the same job. I still had the same circle of friends. I didn't have any prospects on the horizon as far as marriage or having a family. So my stress was I was no longer considered in my early 20s. I was officially in my mid-20s.
Right.
You know, so I was like, oh my god. And you feel old. And now yeah. I look at a 25-year-old and I'm like, oh, you got time. You're good.
Yeah. It's so funny because it's true. I think when we're young and like, I don't know. Because I remember being in high school and just dying to be 21.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just really wanted, like, and it wasn't just to, like, be able to party or, like, go drink. It was just to feel like an adult.
But when I turned 21, I was like, oh, I wish I were 18.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like that saying, like, if you live too fast, like, mm-hmm. you always want to be older than you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was young, I wanted to be 21. I turned 21, and I was like, oh, dang it. Like, yeah. I wish I was back to being
my problem was I was still surrounded by people who were considered teenagers, 18 and 19-year-olds. And I'm like, I can't act like them. I'm going to grow to 21-year-old. Yeah. And I was like, oh. And then when I was 25, I'm like, I wish I were 21. I felt like I was always 3 years behind.
Now I realize why the store is called Forever 21, because I'm Forever 21. That's it.
When I turned 22, I was like, I cannot shop here anymore. Now for just a moment, like, I was like, I no longer belong in this
after
store.
After, I was like, okay, because sometimes I'm like, I really have to think about it. I'm always like, 24? No, 25. Oh my god, I'm 26? Like, I have that, like, moment where I'm just like, what?
To me, I'm like, I'm 29?
Oh, yeah, like, then gross. Have you ever felt like a whole year went by and you don't even realize?
For me, I guess, I don't know if I've ever felt like a whole year. I think my 25th birthday felt like that. Like, I'm sorry, not my 25th, my 24th birthday, because I was so worried about 25. So, I was so scared, and I didn't do very much to change my fear. Only thing I did was, like, hunkered down a lot at school, and I really did very well my last few years in school. Because I was like, I have to graduate, I have to finish this thing. But when I turned 26, a lot of really sad things happened in my 26th year. So that's one year that I wish I would never have to go back to. And I'm glad I don't have to go back, obviously. But that was when I lost my mom. I mean, I made some certain circumstances changed. Good things happened. And then I lost my mom. And then, like, my whole year was just clouded over by that sadness that I had. But 25 was okay for me. Yeah. I think 24, when I was approaching 25, was when it was scary.
Mm-hmm.
So my quarter life crisis came early because I was like, oh my god, I'm going to have a quarter life. I just know it. I'm going to have a quarter life crisis. I can feel it.
It's true. Cool. I think you think of it as a quarter of your life is mm-hmm. down, right? And mm-hmm. you're just like, wait. It's kind of like referring back to our resolution, like our resolution episode mm-hmm. of how, like, when you measure your year and you're just like, okay, well, 25, I want it to be the best year. Or because now you're entering your late 20s, right?
And I guess. Mm-hmm.
And so you want to, I don't know, achieve things that now you have all the tools for.
Because
mm-hmm. you were in school and you finished all that and now you can be in the real world, let's say. And so it's kind of like, all right, now I have to be doing bigger moves, right? Like, I have to get my career and be in the path that I want to be, where I can retire and be okay. Because now I think a lot of the issues in our generation now is, like, it's solely based on financial stability, I feel. Like,
that's what it means to be an adult.
Yeah, and so now it's kind of like, at first, I think, before I was 25, I didn't really think about it that much. I guess I didn't really have to, but now it's kind of just like, gosh, you're learning about 401ks and, like, you know, you didn't know what insurance policies are, and now it's just kind of like a crash course. It's like they need a book of, like, adulting for dummies, like how to be an adult.
I think a big problem is that in high school they teach you things that you're just like, there was a meme that I saw and it was like, what are taxes and what is a 401k? And what they teach you in high school is mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. And you're like, does that have no use for this?
It's true. It's like when you learn that really obnoxious, like, formula in calculus that you're or geometry even. It's just like, when do I need to know the circumference of a circle?
For real. I mean, I'm sure that at some point you can Google those things. But it's just...
Ask Siri
and she'll tell you. But it's just one of those things where, for me, I think I had an opposite story than Wilkes, which was that during that year between like age 23 to 26, I went to so many weddings. I'm telling you, within that like within the last 5 years, I went to like maybe 30.
I know. It was like every weekend for you.
Yeah, it was like 25 to 30 weddings. You know how much money I spent on gifts and on dresses and on baby showers?
Think that
you
weren't bridesmaids at all of them.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I was a maid of honor in one. I was an impromptu bridesmaid in another one because it just happened to happen very quickly. And it was fun, and I really enjoyed going to weddings, but I have so many dresses in my closet, and you can't repeat them, because they were all friends with one another. But it was one of those times when I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not married, these people are now having babies, and
it's true.
You started feeling like you're getting left behind.
It's
true,
and I think what drives maybe a midlife crisis is like, maybe when you compare yourself to others around you, and maybe others in like, your not necessarily like your social scene, but maybe people you went to high school with. So like my high school, they do something kind of cool. I really like it. After graduation, they did like a 6-month reunion. So like when everyone was back home for like Thanksgiving break, and then they do every 5 years. So like we had a 5-year reunion.
How did you feel your 5-year differed from your 6 months?
The 6 months was kind of fun. Like, not that many people went because it was, like, Thanksgiving and a lot of people went away for school. But, like, the people that did go, it was cool to see, like, you know, how everyone was. It was more like how they were enjoying college.
Okay.
And, like, seeing how that change was. So that was fun. But then, like, the 5-year reunion, like, there were people already, like, engaged, and there were some people that were already, you know, executives at, like, a bank, or, you know, like, they're working, and they're just, like, other people are in grad school, and now it's, like, now you're measuring up to, like, a lot of the kids that went to my high school, like, you know, they did really well, like, they're doing really well, they went to good schools, and so, like, you couldn't help but measure up, right? Like, or try to compare.
Or feel like have to measure up.
Try to say, oh, well, I only went here, or I went to this local car, or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, oh my gosh. So now, I think that's what kind of maybe instigates a quarter life crisis for some people.
I think another one is also that people who are in their early to mid 20s hear from people who are 10, 20 years older than them, oh, but you're so young. You're so young. So you're having these mixed messages where some people are telling you, you're so young. Mm-hmm. You have all the time in the world. Don't worry about it. But you also hear, and it's very true, that there's a timeline to certain things. Like, it's harder for you to be a full-time student doing your bachelor's when you're in your mid to late 20s. It's not impossible, and if you're doing it, then continue. But I noticed I was always like 2 years older than the people in my class, but then again, there were people who were in their 30s and 40s in my class as well.
Yes.
But I had a different story. So these people were living on campus, you know, they didn't have to work. I, being older, I had to do part-time school, so I couldn't just spend my whole day on campus.
Yeah.
I had to work, so my attention was split, you know, and it was just a different life that I had to lead. And me working in a university now, I hear it and I see it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I ask my 18-year-old students, oh, so are you working right now? No, I'm just focusing on being a student. And then I ask my 35-year-olds and they're like, yeah, I have a full-time job because I have
and
two
kids. And
most
have families, right?
You know? So it's one of those things where there's a timeline. You cannot start to be a gymnast when you're 25. It's not going to work. So you have these mixed messages where someone's telling you you're young, you have all the time in the world. And then you hit 25 and you start feeling, oh, maybe I'm not that young.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how, it's not necessarily that that's the truth, but that's how you feel.
Right.
You know.
And I think it's like different generations, right? Because when we look at our parents, like at our age, they'd already been married for my parents were already married for, what, 5-6 years?
My mom had had all four of us by my age already.
And my mom had had two, like, my brother and my sister. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like, when we maybe even compare ourselves to our parents, mm-hmm. we're, like, behind, right? And so, in the family aspect, because maybe they didn't pursue higher education and stuff like that, like we are now. So mm-hmm. now that's when they probably look at us and say, oh my gosh, you're so young. Don't, you know, they're taking it as their experience of they maybe started too young, like how I was saying before, like they lived too fast maybe, and they okay. did something maybe too young in life, and mm-hmm. so they missed out on a couple things that they might have wanted to do. And they see us, and they push us to travel. And it, when we got married, like, the most advice, like, the one constant piece of advice was don't have kids right away. Like, enjoy being married. Travel. You know, get to where you want to get to in your career and stuff like that. And then have kids instead of, like, have kids right away, right?
I have friends who didn't have kids right away, and I'm not married currently, mm-hmm. and they got married a few years ago. Very, very close friends of mine. I love them to death. I think they're coming upon the time where they're starting to think about having kids, mm-hmm. Because they have had several years now of just the two of them.
Right.
So they every year they go on a trip. They go on several trips a year.
Yeah.
And they have, like, one big one. They're actually going to Europe.
Awesome.
Probably, I think next week is when they leave.
Oh, my
week.
Gosh. I'm so jealous. My best friend, one of my best friends, she's going, I think, oh my gosh, they'll probably be in Europe at the same time.
Probably. She's going to
Italy. Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's going on a cruise, and it's going to be like a Mediterranean cruise.
Awesome.
For her birthday, and her husband got her that as a surprise.
Oh,
so,
that's awesome.
But they constantly tell me, like, now that you're it, now that you're single, like, don't, you know, don't forget to, you know, travel. I wish I could have done this. I wish I could have traveled more.
Yeah.
And I told them, I was like, wait a minute. I knew her single before I knew her married, because we were mm-hmm. friends when she was single. And I'm like, you've traveled more married than
right.
you did single. Because me, as I'm single, if I want to travel, I have to grab some friends.
Right.
You know, and be like, hey, can you go? Oh, wait, but my husband and I. Oh, but my boyfriend and I. Oh, but...
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, I can't just do it on my own. Whereas if you're married, you feel like you can travel. Precious is shaking over there. You feel like you can travel because you have a travel buddy.
Have a partner, right.
You know? So, I don't know, I feel like there's too many different circumstances, like we were saying earlier with the suggestion.
Yeah.
Everyone's story is different, but
completely.
I think that a common thread is that you always feel like time is running out on you.
Yeah, I think, I mean, unless, I don't know.
I feel like there's an expectation.
I feel like there shouldn't be, don't put so much pressure on yourself.
It might not come even from yourself, and I'm sure that at some level
mm-hmm.
it does, but it might come from other people. At least in my family,
yeah.
in our family, it comes from internal. There's a certain expectation.
I think you don't personally, it's not more of like coming from our parents, or
mm-hmm.
maybe it's just like, just how we want to do better, and so we can help, or like take care of our parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's a big thing, and I would say in most Hispanic cultures, I
yeah.
feel like that's a big thing, and other cultures too, where you kind of see what your parents did for you, and so
and
you want to repay
them, yeah.
right? So that's like a really big motivation factor, where it's just like, okay, I want to be able to do this and this fast enough, because I want to take care of my parents soon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're older. So
what do you feel about the very common phrase that 30s mm-hmm. is your new 20s?
I don't know
how I feel about it, but I feel like when you hit your 30s, you know who you are. And today, I feel more myself today than I've ever felt. I feel like I am more unapologetic about who I am.
I don't know what that means, though. Like, 30s is your new 20s. So, like, 20s is the maybe, let's say that's the time in your life, or the decade in your life where you can kind of, let's say, make mistakes
mm-hmm.
and kind of figure out what you're going to do and, you know, get settled into
mm-hmm.
your adult life.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does that mean when you're 30? You've been faffing around all this time, and now you have the time to, so 30 to 40 is the time where you settle down.
I think that before, because now we're looking at what the 20s mean for us now,
mm-hmm.
but 30, 40 years ago, your 20s, when you're 21, you're done with school
mm-hmm.
and you're getting married and you're in your job, and that's that. now, I think that what's happening is that when you look at a 20-year-old now, mm-hmm. if she tells you that she's getting married, you're thinking to yourself, what are you doing? You know? So I feel that when we say 30s is the new 20s, I think what they're trying to imply is the 30s today are what the 20s were in the 1950s, where if a girl by the time she was 25 was not married, you're thinking, oh, in Spanish, they say se quedó, mm-hmm. like she is left, like no one
or went. Or a spinster, right?
Yeah, she's a spinster, you know, an old maid. Mm-hmm. And so you get to a certain age, probably 25.
A cat lady. Hashtag that friend. She was so terrified of the becoming one.
I think I'm becoming a dog lady. No. I only have one dog, but I'm like, I'd rather sit with my dog on a Friday. And
just I'd like to interpret it as in your 30s, like, okay, let's say you worked, like you had your head in the game mm-hmm. during your 20s and your 30s now maybe you're established enough where you can kind of do things that you might have missed out on because you were working hard and you were trying to stay focused, and so maybe now you get to do those things. Maybe that's what they mean with the 30s is the new 20s.
I think that the 30s is the new 20s is said to people who didn't do that. I think it's said to those who didn't focus when they were okay. in their 20s. So now they're saying, hey, you still have a chance. Like, you were probably going from job to job. You were not being loyal to a particular career. You didn't know what you wanted to do. But now that you're in your 20s, before, and it's still the case now, yeah. when you're 18, you have to decide what you want to do for the rest of your life because you're going to college.
I know. That's so daunting.
That is very daunting because you're like, I'm a kid, yeah. you know?
I can go with that.
So now they're saying it's not that you're screwing around the first 20 years, but you probably didn't work very hard and you probably were trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And now that you're approaching your 30s, you're thinking, okay, now I know what I want to do, or at least maybe don't have a specific path, but I have a path, you know? And okay, so I don't know exactly like my end goal, but I know that I've acquired certain skills to be able to get somewhere. Which, the American dream is no longer to work at a place and retire, because that's no longer happening.
Now it's to be self-employed, I feel.
Yeah, I think that's the American dream. Make your own, be your own boss, make your own money. Yeah. Because that American dream can't work. Companies are no longer keeping people for decades.
Yeah,
because
it's not how it works anymore.
It's not beneficial to that company
anymore. And now they outsource anyway.
They outsource a lot. And so being that that's changed, I think that that's why the 30s is the new 20s. Because now you probably have been let go of a job. If you had the job when you were 21, right. you've probably been let go from the job. Or you probably have quit because you decided you don't love it anymore. And 30s is the new 20s is said to those people who either weren't focused because they didn't know what they wanted mm-hmm. or they had to have something shake up in their life and they feel like I need to give myself another chance, and it really isn't too late for them.
Yeah, I think one point that we can get from this is just don't ever count yourself out. I think it's never too late to really do what you want to do, right? I don't think if you're 30, don't think like, oh my gosh, that's it, I passed my prime. I think, why not? Why can't you go and maybe change careers if you want to? Mm-hmm.
I mean, I always hear about someone who's like, oh, I was an engineer and then I became a lawyer. And yeah. You're like, you can't just decide you're going to be a lawyer.
I think as long as you're happy, and if you're just unhappy, because that's also a thing that maybe people just hit a rut. Like, I don't know if I want to say it's always a crisis. I think it's just like a rut. Mm-hmm. And like you're just unhappy, and not necessarily unhappy with your life, because you probably are in a great relationship, mm-hmm. or maybe you're just fine not being whatever it is, but you're just unhappy with the daily grind and mm-hmm. going to the same thing and doing something that you might not like. So why not go and do what you want to do? And that's the beauty of living here, I think you can do that.
You said something key earlier, and you said our parents, like we compare ourselves to our parents. I think that our world has gotten bigger, yet smaller in some regard. Mm-hmm. Like, it's bigger in the sense that you think about 1970s in the Dominican Republic, which was where my parents were at that time.
Oh, yeah.
They're thinking to themselves, this is my life. This is where right. I will live and die. And then someone tells them that they have a chance to go to America. And they didn't get to see that on the Travel Channel or, you know, see Pinterest and look at all these beautiful traveling right. state destinations. That wasn't there. So their world was very small, but it was also so distant that it felt very big, if that makes sense. In our case, I understand that.
Yeah.
You know, like now in our case, the world is bigger because now there's so much more that we can but it's so accessible.
But everything is so in our, like, right at our fingertips.
Like, news from England does not take 2 weeks to reach
us. Yeah.
Like, we can see it within seconds.
Instant. Everything is instant.
So, I feel like now, because that's the case, people are like, wait a minute, I still have some viable years left in my life.
And it's true. It's like those commercials I know you've seen, like the Phoenix, like online. Uh-huh. And how it's always like an older, like there's one that I cry at. It's like a Bright House commercial. I'm a crier in commercials. I will admit, I'm not ashamed. There's one and it's like a son and a mother and they're like studying, but like the whole time you think she's helping him study, mm-hmm. but like they're helping each other study.
They're both going to school.
And they're both going to school and they graduate together. And that's I'm just amazing. Like, oh, that's so sweet. Mm-hmm. Like, cause you think about like our parents and they sacrificed a lot.
Yeah.
For us. And that is the beauty of them being however old they might be, that they can do what they've always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe it kind of got pushed to the back burner because they had to raise a family, but...
If you speak to someone who's older, you're always going to hear them speaking about their regrets. They're always going to say, I wish I could have done this differently. And they always have some sort of advice for you. And I think that it would be better for us to focus on living our lives in such a way that we don't have regrets or advice mm-hmm. to give to someone, that we can just have, like, really fun stories to tell
them. Yeah, it's a good thing to,
you know,
to
like,
try to not live with regret.
Yeah, and you're probably right, Will. It's like, maybe it's not a crisis. I mean, I feel like in the moment, you feel like, this is a crisis.
Everything at this moment, like,
in but, that
like,
moment.
It's mm-hmm. like teenage angst, right? But, like, when you're in your 20s, because you're, like, feel like you've just been catapulted into this new, like, all these responsibilities at the same time, mm-hmm. and it's just like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, like, you just want to pull a fire alarm, or like, you want to go to an adult, but then you realize,
you are the adult
that you'd be looking for, mm-hmm. like, you know, and then you just have to be like, you kind of get that realization that we're just like, oh my god, wait, no, I can't, right, I'm an adult, I have to be able to resolve this, right? Well, and so at that moment, I think it feels like a crisis because you just think the world's going to end because mm-hmm. or your world is going to end. Mm-hmm. But it's just a rut, right? Like, it'll pass.
My mom got married around 22-ish, 23, or 21, 20, between that age. And I'm trying to do the math, and I want to say it was around 22. Yeah. And I could not imagine being married at 22 because I'm not who I was when I was 22.
My mom got married at 20.
And my mom, she got married and she hadn't gotten pregnant 6 months later. And she's going to fertility clinics. And I was like, oh, what? Gosh. And so she was just like, no, I really wanted to have a kid right away. And the stories were just so different. And
they're so different.
And I'm trying to think of myself with a child at the age of 23. And I would not have known what to do. Even now, like, I was babysitting my friend's baby. Mm-hmm. And he was crying because he's just, unfortunately, he's a colicky baby. And I was about to call her and be like, come get your kid. I did it because I'm like, I'm the adult.
Yeah.
Like, I've done, like, nursery for, like, church and stuff. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the kids get so crazy that I'm like, I need someone else to come in. And I'm like, wait, I'm the adult.
Right.
Like, I am 20. At the time, I was like, I'm 24 years old. I'm the one who needs to tell these kids to shut up
and
sit down.
It's true. It's like scary when you realize you're the person that you'd be kind of calling for help, mm-hmm. right? Because now you're the adult.
Do you ever stop and wonder if you ever approached, in your youth, a 22-year-old, 23-year-old?
My sister.
And you saw them like an adult.
Yeah.
And they're thinking to themselves, I have no idea what I'm doing.
My sister's 9 years. She was like my other mom. Mm-hmm. And so, and even now, like, she's the adult, right? Like, I still don't think I'm an adult when she's not my peer, right? Like, she'll always be older than me. I feel like I look up to her still. So I feel like when I was young, I just saw her and be like, wow, yeah, she's old, right? Like,
well, my oldest sister is 6 years older than me, and she to us was always like older. And I remember thinking to myself, like, everything was fast for her. She was one of those that like lived fast mm-hmm. because she graduated high school when she was 16. She had her own car. She worked at a bank before she was even allowed to work at a bank.
Wow, yeah.
So she was always, like, you know, working, and she had her own money. She bought her own things, and then she got married young, relatively young, around 23. And I was just like, even now, like, she's only, the age difference is less apparent because she's 6 years older than me, so we're peers. And I tell her, I'm an adult, like, when they try to talk down to me because I'm the little sister. But sometimes I'm like, wait, but she's more adulter than I
am. Yeah, it's like my brother and my sister, I have that privilege, I think. That my brother's 11 years and I'm 12 years older than me, mm-hmm. and my sister's 9. And so, like, they were always, it was, like, an extra set of parents I had. So, mm-hmm. like, my brother was, like, signing my permission slips because he was already in college and I was in middle school.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
Right? So, it was crazy.
I don't know. I feel the quarter life crisis is a real thing. You feel like you're drowning. You feel like everyone is looking at you to make yeah. the next move.
And each move, you feel like it's, like, do or die almost. Like,
yeah. Oh, gosh. And I think that if you are in a place that you're feeling that stressed out, like, talk to someone who's just a little older than you are to get some perspective. I think perspective is what kind of talks you down from the edge because yeah. you really feel like your world is going to either explode into something that you're not expecting it to be or it's ending.
Like, yeah, and also I think with that same, mm-hmm. on that same note, it's also, like, don't try to compare yourself
okay.
to anyone else.
There are people who did get married young, and it's working for
and
them.
And it's working.
You know, and that's amazing. And then there's people who wait till they're a little older to get married or just mm-hmm. haven't happened for them until a little older, and it works for them, too.
Yeah, it's one of those, there's like, everything many... in life, it's always based on circumstance. Like, mm-hmm. there's not one right way. There's many right ways, right? Like, there's many different ways to do things.
The pressure comes because that number just sounds really big.
Yeah, but it's
not. 25 feels like a very specific milestone that you're hitting.
Yeah.
So you're just like, oh, the next milestone is 30. And then yeah. you just kind of feel like...
You're climbing up the hill, right?
Yeah, you're just like, oh, here, I'm approaching the hill. And then, you know, obviously those decades start really kind of hitting you. You don't feel the decade when you're turning 20.
No.
You know, you hear it at 20. We hit it at 21. But I don't know. It was an interesting time in my life, and it wasn't good interesting. I was very all over mm-hmm. the place. I wasn't focused. I didn't have excuses anymore. I think that that's why I was scary, because I no longer could have my wild nights. They were fewer and far between, and I no longer had excuses. I couldn't be like I was a young, dumb girl. Now I was a dumb adult. I did stupid things at the age of 25.
It's
so.
True. And it's cool that we have... contrast. Like, it wasn't bad. I was excited to turn 25 because I knew it was going to be a really fun year, mm-hmm. but it was also a lot of change at the same time. So I think that's what made it overwhelming
mm-hmm.
for me.
My overwhelming was the abyss that my 25th birthday looked like for me. I just did not know what was coming because mm-hmm. nothing had changed. I felt for me like I woke up and I was suddenly a 25. I was suddenly approaching 25. I went from being a little teenager. I always felt like I was 4 years behind.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, wait, that can't be right. I'm not going to be 25. I'm only 19. Where you're talking about, you know, like, or 20. You know, like, I always felt like I was a little bit behind. And I'm feeling finally like I'm catching up to myself. But during that time, it was hard because it was so different. Like you said, the contrast was there. You had all these exciting changes happening for you.
Yeah.
For me, nothing was changing, and I felt like I'm stuck. I'm so stuck right now. So that was a tough time for me. But I'm glad to say that I've moved past it.
You've gotten out of the rut.
Yes, I'm out of the rut. There is light at the end of the tunnel, you guys. There is.
Hang in there.
Hang in there. That crisis will become a celebration at some point. You become who you are. You realize what friendships matter. You start managing this whole budget thing, and it works out for you. You eventually figure it out.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for our dumb moments coming right up. But we do have new ways to connect. We're always trying to find new ways for you guys to interact with us. And the newest way is our Facebook page. I know, it's been a long time coming. But go ahead and find us on Facebook. If you like our page, then we will post updates as to when a new episode is up so you never miss one. And of course, that's a great way for you to leave your topics, suggestions, or comments. This episode, we actually had a suggestion from one of our very own listeners. So like us on Facebook, or you can email us your suggestions at dumericanapodcast@gmail.com.
Also, don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and now Pinterest at Dumericana. And check out our new website, dumericana.net, where you can read the blog posts accompanying each episode. And also, don't forget to subscribe to iTunes so you can get notifications when we release a new episode.
So there are no excuses for you not to connect with us. We'd love to hear from you guys. Welcome back, listeners. Now, the dumb moments, Wilkes. What do you have your, as your dumb moment?
I think my dumb moment would have to be, I think midlife crisis or quarter life crisis often happens when you feel like you look at your life and you're not where you want to be. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important to just, you know, take time and reflect and live in the present and kind of evaluate where you are, your goals, what you want to get accomplished, and see if you're doing what you need to do to do those things. And if not, then relax and change up your game plan and change it around, and you can get on that path. And I feel like that would help preventing feeling like you're drowning, right? Like, just take time, be in the present, and don't ever feel like you're doing anything too wrong, right? Like, don't ever get too anxious, I think.
Okay. Now, my dumb moment, I would say, would be that you're probably in your head much more than you need to be. Mm-hmm. All of us are just trying to figure it out moment by moment. You're going to come across a 45-year-old person who looks very stable, and they're still struggling with trying to just figure out whatever aspect of their life they're in then. So whether that is career, parenting, marriage, singleness, relationships, whatever, mm-hmm. doesn't matter the age. All of us, we've never been our current age before.
Yeah.
You know, so this is all of ours first time being this particular age. Yeah. And that number 25 feels daunting because of external pressure. So focus, you know, don't get caught up in your head too much. It sounds contradicting. Don't be in your thoughts too much, but also bring it inward. Like, think about what you need to do for yourself.
Right.
And realize that those that are around you are probably feeling the way you feel or probably have felt. So don't be afraid to reach out.
Yeah. I think, don't ever think everyone's got to figure it out, because
we all find out that we don't.
We're all trying to, right? Yep.
I feel like on this side of my quarter life crisis, mm-hmm. now that I've come out of it, I can tell you from someone who's been through it, it gets better.
Oh, thank God.
Does not get worse. It gets better because you become who you really are.
So thanks so much for tuning in. We can't wait to have you join us for next week's episode, which would be our lucky number 10.
And we have a special surprise for you.
A special surprise. So make sure you tune in.
Yes, we can't wait to share it with you guys. As always, hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, any sort of social media you
have. Twitter, everything.
We're on there. So find us. And as always, thanks for tuning in. Let us know your suggestions. And we love you guys.
Bye.
Music for Demericana, created by Herman Gonzalez.
Artwork and production by Leonel Tarivio.